الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, I want to remind myself and you about the importance of building a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu, the importance of rujoo ila Allah, the importance of having a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the importance of being able to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whenever you want. Everyone can do it. The question is whether we are aware. The question is whether we are aware of what we are doing, whether we are conscious of it, whether we have a sense of doing it. When we speak, do we feel like we are speaking? Do we get an answer? And all of this takes effort. And that effort comes from dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever He mentioned the word dhikr in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, also use the word kathir. Dhikran kathira. Yadhkuruna Allaha kathira. People who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a great deal. So dhikr is not just something that we do once in a while, or something that we just do routinely or, you know, mechanically. Dhikr is something that we do with a complete sense of presence, of being there, of complete awareness of what we are saying, of feeling the power of what we are saying. And that's why I always say that saying Subhanallah one time in your whole life is enough. If you say it with the haqq of Subhanallah, and so also with everything else. That is very important. I was listening to a lecture by Sheikh Hamza Yusuf the other day, and he mentioned one of his teachers in Mauritania where he studied. And he said that the wife of this teacher, he said that people, if you go to their house, they are extremely hospitable people. And they make you eat. Listen, you have to eat. They say, eat. And they have a saying in Arabic which says that, eat like a man and drink like a camel. So, this is the force. You know, if you say, I have eaten, no, you have to eat. You must eat. And he said that strangely, even if you have eaten and gone, when you sit down there to eat, you feel hungry. And when you, whatever you eat in their house, you never get an upset stomach. You never have indigestion. Nothing. And he said the reason is that his wife who cooks the food, he says when she is cooking the food, continuously she is reciting Salat and Salam on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She is reciting Durud continuously with the intention of Shifa. She is making dua to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Ya Allah, put Shifa in this food. And imagine, I mean, this is the issue of doing something with awareness. Here is a woman, she is cooking food in the kitchen, that's all. I mean, she is not, you know, making hymns of the Quran, she is not making tawaf of the Kaaba, she is cooking food in the kitchen. But she is doing this with such a sense of presence, of being hazir in that place, of having connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla jalaluhu, of sending salat and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who sends salat and salam on me once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send salat and salam on that person 10 times. Now imagine if somebody is doing that with the sense of presence. Not just saying Allahumma salli, no. Doing that with a sense of presence. To say that this is what I am doing and this is the haqq of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if I am simply fulfilling the haqq of the Nabi, that should be enough. I should not even expect a reward because I am fulfilling somebody's haqq. What reward do you want? But this is the mercy of his Rabb, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends 10 times of blessings on the person who is only fulfilling the haqq of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not need us to fulfill that haqq. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did that before us. Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Allah said, I have done this already. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this hukum and said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. So if a person is doing something, he is not doing any favor to the Prophet ﷺ. So this lady cooks her food with this dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, many times we hear, especially our young brothers and sisters who become religious, and alhamdulillah, may Allah give them tawfiq and give them, make use of their enthusiasm, alhamdulillah. But because we have lost the whole system of tarbiyah, because we have lost the whole system of mashq, so even these people with good intentions, alhamdulillah, I have heard them many times. They say, I want to be a speaker. Why? Because they have heard this speaker, that speaker, and it looks nice, somebody gives a good bayan, you feel very happy. So you say, oh, I want to become a speaker. And nobody says, I want to become a worker. I want to do the amal of the deen. I want to become a practitioner of Islam. I want to become a speaker. And if you ask the speaker, and illa mashallah, of course, there are exceptions, but if you ask the speakers and the debaters, did you pray tahajjud today? No. How much Quran do you know? Very little. How much of that do you understand? Allah knows best. What is your ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the meaning of ta'alluq? This is the point. The point is that people, Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi was a speaker. But Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi was a speaker of such, how did he become a speaker? Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi was perhaps the youngest chancellor of the Jamia Nizamia of the university in Damascus, in his 30s, early 30s. He became the chancellor, he became a dean. And then one day, he made arrangements for his family. He had one son, the son died, so he had only daughters. He made arrangements for them to stay, his wife and so on and so forth. And he said, I'm going on Hajj. And he went away for 12 years. 12 years. Out of those 12 years, 2 years he spent sweeping the masjid in Damascus. As a sweeper, nobody knew who he was. People did not know who he was. As a sweeper in the masjid, he used to sweep the masjid as a janitor. One day he's sweeping the masjid and there is a halaqa of ulama sitting there. And a man comes and asks a question. And none of the ulama could answer him. And Imam Al-Ghazali, there's this janitor who's sweeping the masjid and he's listening to this thing. And he feels very troubled that this man came to ask this question, but none of these people can answer him. And these are ulama. And the man is going to go away without getting an answer. So when the man got up, he had to go. He asked a question, he didn't get an answer. As he was going, Imam Al-Ghazali stopped him and he said, your question, this is the answer. So the man said, you are telling me? He said, you are a janitor. What do you know about Islam? What do you know about ilm? You are a janitor. Oh, you are a sweeper of the masjid. You are giving me an answer? So the ulama was sitting there. They heard this whole thing. They called the man back. He said, come, what are you carrying on about? Come here. So he came back. He said, what happened? What were you telling the man? So this man who got the answer, he says, you know what? That janitor was telling me, this is the answer to my question. And the ulama said, Subhanallah. He said, Subhanallah, that is the answer. That is the answer. It didn't occur to us. That is the answer. Where is the janitor? Janitor is gone. Gone. Imam Al-Ghazali left. Didn't want to be recognized. He didn't want Facebook likes. He didn't want YouTube hits. He didn't want to be known as a speaker. International speaker. Huh? Why? Because he is interested in ta'alluq with his Rabb. Why is he sweeping the masjid? Because the masjid has no sweeper? No. For his own nafs. I am not this great alim, I am not this chancellor, I am a sweeper of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His own nafs. The nafs has to be crushed. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, one day is walking in the street, then suddenly he called the people, he said, everybody come to the masjid. They came to the masjid. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu comes onto the minbar and he says, oh people, know this, that there was a time when I used to graze the sheep of my aunts. And at the end of the day, they would give me a handful of raisins or dates for grazing the sheep all day. And once in a while, one of the sheep would get lost. And when I came back, my aunt used to say, you are so useless that you can't even take care of sheep. And I would get reprimanded, I would get beaten. My aunt would say, you are so useless that you are not even capable of looking after sheep. And today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made me this Amir of the Ummat. But this is my reality. He gives us khutbah. So Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu is sitting there in front. So when the khutbah people went away, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf says to Umar ibn al-Khattab, he said, what was the point of this khutbah? It was, what was the point of this? What was the need for this? He said, all you did was you made yourself zaleel before people. That's all. So what was the need for this? So then Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, as I was walking in the street, my nafs tells me, Ya Umar, you are Amirul Mumineen, mashallah. Ya Umar, you are Amirul Mumineen, mashallah. So he said, I had to teach that nafs a lesson. Hey, achieve, Hari. First of all, more than the lesson, for me, the matter of astonishment is that connection with his own nafs. He knows what is happening in his heart. That sense of presence and awareness is such that he knows what is going on in his heart. And that's why he responds to it. We are like robots. We don't even know. The nafs plays games with us. Somebody says, I want to be a speaker. Make tawbah. That niyyah itself is wrong. I want to be a speaker. The niyyah is wrong. I want to be an alim. The niyyah is wrong. I want to be a hafiz Quran. The niyyah is wrong. You say, I want to be a practitioner of Islam. I want to be somebody who practices the Quran. I will make hifz of the Quran to practice it. Not hifz of the Quran to recite in Taraweeh and make some money. Not learn ilm to give fatawa and take money for this. All of this happens because the niyat itself is wrong. Learning of Islam in order to practice it. And that is why I provide myself and you, ruju' ila Allah. What is the solution to all this? Is the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is to make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with complete and total awareness of what we are doing. And then to continuously make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, I make istighfar 100 times a day. What was the need for somebody whose sins are forgiven, for somebody who is protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is masoom, he cannot commit a sin? Where is the question of making istighfar? But the istighfar of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and our istighfar, of course, obviously there is a difference because we actually make istighfar for sins, but the istighfar of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the expression of ubudiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not a simple matter of saying astaghfirullah, no. Which is astaghfirullah, we must remember, what did I do? My ubudiyat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what kind of a slave am I to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I think it's a great mercy and blessing for us that our owner, we are all slaves. But it's a great mercy and blessing for us that our owner is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Because if that was not the case, literally we would not be able to take one breath. The kind of slaves we are, even one breath we would not be able to take. So, alhamdulillah, 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 our owner is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Our owner is Al-Ghafoor Ar-Rahim. That's why we even survive. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us this awareness of Himself, of His power, His majesty, His glory, and to fill our hearts with His khashiyah, and to make us His ibad, and to bring this ubudiyat into our hearts, and to remove all desire for fame and name and money and things of this dunya, and make us rujoo towards Him with only one thought in our mind, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be pleased with me. Khalas. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this easy for us and to accept it from us. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.